Josh was in a musical put on by a small theater company in which he had to sing and stand on stilts. It was the first time any of us had heard him sing, even though we knew that when he was a kid he was in the church choir. It seemed like a lark, but the next summer the company took him to Greece to do an opera. It sounds glamorous, but it was right after the Greek state collapsed, so it was a bit touch and go. For instance, they were having a design meeting one night, and suddenly they all started coughing. It was tear gas from the protest down the street, wafting in through the open windows. During my last 2 years of college, I lived in a building that was very poorly taken care of, but very cheap for the location, because it was owned by very sketchy people, possibly the mob. When we moved out, my roommate's younger sister moved in and got into some trouble with the management. Once she had this party, and she got so drunk that she left the water in the bathtub running all night so that it overflowed the bathtub and actually flooded the apartment downstairs and did major damage to the ceiling. She had also left the apartment door open, so the superintendent just walked right in and found her. The super was a guy named Fabian, with really bright blue eyes like Paul Newman, and it was hard to get mad at him. Apparently, she lived in the apartment a long time after that. Like I said, it wasn't a nice place, but really cheap for the location. We were going to see a show in Chelsea, and we had picked a bar to meet in for a drink before. But when I got there, Josh was late and the bar was too crowded. So I walked up the block and found some other place and called him. I was on 23rd Street, and he was on 20th Street. And we were going to 19th Street, and so he didn't want to walk up to 23rd, he said, because there was a place right there on 18th and we only had 45 minutes. Do you realize I am only asking you to walk two blocks? I said. Just smoke a cigarette and you'll be here. Finally he did, and we had a glass of wine, and we even actually had extra time, so we walked to 9th Avenue and got a slice of pizza and split it on the walk back. When I was a kid, I had a loft bed with a bookshelf at the head of it. I was going to sleep one night when there was a loud crash. I yelled and my parents came in and found a bullet on the floor hidden behind one of the cabinets. It broke the window, but it wasn't a direct shot or anything, and I don't remember whether the police came. If they did, they didn't come into my room, or if they did come into my room, I don't remember it. Once I had to have the police drive me home because I couldn't find my mother, but that was later. I stayed in bed and my dad said it was probably someone shooting up in the air far away and not thinking where it would come down. When Tennessee Williams premiered his first play in Boston, he was walking across the street with his agent and a car backfired. "My God, they're shooting at us," he said. I woke up feeling very sick. But I had to teach that day in Philadelphia, so I got dressed and got on the train anyways. Then I saw the public service announcement from the MTA that said, "Feeling under the weather, best thing to do is to not get on the train." So I got off the train and went home and went back to bed, which wasn't a bed, but a mattress on the floor. The day I moved back to Brooklyn from Philadelphia, I looked out the window of my room and couldn't believe I'd actually done it. In London, I was supposed to meet Michael after he got off work, but I got to Shoreditch too early, and so I wandered around. I had a couple of addresses, and I asked some British people how to find them. One of them was a gallery recommended by Melina in an old, low house on a street with a mixture of old houses and new buildings that looked kind of like parts of Providence or Philadelphia. It reminded me of the woman who told Lucien and me about the new South Street Seaport Museum, which was going to be housed in 10 adjoining 18th century row houses at the seaport and filled with contemporary art. We got very excited and told her we would come visit. But then we didn't. When I was 8 or 9, my parents and brother and I went to a family reunion in Austin, Texas. Everyone stayed in guest houses on foothills with patches of dirt and grass. There was going to be a big dinner. And I went to one of the houses where my aunt was putting on jewelry. She was very sick and thin then, and had to wear a tube for oxygen coming out of her nose. She made a joke about nose jewelry. We all got hot pink t-shirts that said the family name and posed for pictures. But the sun was setting, and in the pictures, half of us are hidden in the shade. It was the first time Michael took me to the town where he grew up. And we were driving around in a rental car. The town looked very beautiful to me, very classic and New England, and it was hard for me to see past that. I found myself trying to convince Michael that the town was beautiful. For instance, I said, as we drove to dinner, "Look at that beautiful meadow. That's an empty lot," Michael said. "And behind it, there's a swamp." We were working on a play by Mack Wellman that took place on Avenue X in Brooklyn, so one day we got up early and took the train out to Avenue X to have a look around. We'd only been in New York a few years, and neither of us knew much about Brooklyn or any of the outer boroughs. I'd only been that far out once when I went to Coney Island my first winter and took moody pictures of the boy I was with. We took pictures too, and I still have them. It was a quiet day, and there was no one on the streets. We took pictures of the apartment buildings with animal print rugs hanging out the windows and the empty lots with cars and feral cats. And it felt to us like there were so many strange things. Like we came upon this empty lot where there was a clothesline hung with stingrays, huge fish, 5 or 6. I don't remember us talking very much, although we were already pretty good friends. I remember feeling isolated and thinking a lot about the character I was playing in the play, a very isolated character named Marcia Gates, who lost her voice as a result of an act of the unseen. I was supposed to go to this woman's apartment on the Upper East Side, but she gave me the wrong address. And when I got to the building, the doorman wouldn't let me in. Eventually, I called her office, and her assistant, who had some kind of European accent, gave me the right address, which was 20 blocks away. Later, I found out she had given me the address of an apartment she lived in 20 years ago. didn't find that out from her.